My name's Roy Samuelson, and I am an audio description narrator. And what I do is read the script that's been written by audio description describers, specifically for TV shows and movies.
Welcome back to yet another.
There are some voiceover talents that aren't even aware of audio description. The company that I work for does care for the quality of the description. I believe that audio description needs to be a part of the story, regardless of the genre. I'm using describers as different than narrators. The describers actually write the script that the narrators, like me, read.
Welcome back.
On Twitter, I'm at Roy Samuelson, all one word, R-O-Y-S-A-M-U-E-L-S-O-N.
Welcome back to yet another show.
Any community that's appreciating audio description, getting that word out can only help increase the value and the quality as well as the content.
A shaggy-haired man stumbles to the road. A white SUV passes.
Welcome to That Blind Tech Show. This is a special one. We got Brian here. How are you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. I'm hoping that the weather's going to warm up outside, but I think it's probably cold everywhere.
Hey, we got 6 inches of snow coming starting tonight, so fun. But in the studio today, we got Roy Samuelson. How are you doing, Roy?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Roy, you've been on the Blind Abilities podcast. I'm glad you could make it over here to That Blind Tech Show, because Brian's really into audio description, and that's what we want to talk about, right, Brian?
That's correct. I love audio description. As Roy already knows, I'm a fan of a lot of his work, and I've seen every episode of Lethal Weapon, which I am proud to brag about. Roy's fantastic work allows me to really enjoy that show.
Great to hear that, Brian.
You know, Roy, I know people have heard from you. They've seen you on Twitter. They've probably seen some of your shows, but can you give them a brief introduction of what you do, who you are?
Sure. My name's Roy Samuelson, and I am an audio description narrator. And what I do is read the script that's been written by audio description describers, specifically for TV shows and movies.
Now, Roy, I've noticed a lot more services such as Amazon, obviously Netflix, the last several years have come on board with audio description. And, you know, some of the networks, the great ones like Fox, really go above and beyond the mandated hours that Congress have put out there. Have you noticed an uptake in work as far as audio description goes in the last several months?
It's an exciting time. I sure have. Specifically with audio description, the ease of being able to access audio description seems to be just a few clicks away. Even for people that go to the movie theaters with some different apps that allow for it, instead of having to have the theater do the special wireless headsets. And like you said, with the streaming services, wasn't it last year that Hulu was mandated by the FCC?
Hulu has been mandated not by the FCC, but I believe there was threat of legal action. So we're now in February 2019. It's supposedly coming to Hulu in 2019. So that'll be even more content out there with described video.
I had misunderstood that. But like you said, with the FCC requirements, a lot of these networks are going above and beyond. And I think that has a lot to do with the people who use audio description to enhance their experience of the shows. Their voice is being heard. And, you know, with some of these other streaming services coming down the pike with, I think it's called Disney Plus, and whatever Apple content might be coming, from what I understand, at some point this year, maybe even later in the year.
Apple Prime.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, one thing I find kind of fascinating is Fox, as we've established, goes above and beyond with their audio description. Yet FX has zero audio description. They have some amazing shows. I was a huge fan of Sons of Anarchy, and I lost my remaining vision. Sons of Anarchy was a show that did not have audio description. But I guess the sequel to Sons of Anarchy, or prequel, Mayans MC, I actually sat down to watch it. Unfortunately, a lot of it was in Spanish, and the action was moving so fast that I really couldn't enjoy it, and I had to decide not to watch it without it having audio description. It really is very network specific. And another example is NBC does basically the bare minimum, yet they own, I believe, the USA Network, and almost every nighttime show on USA Network has audio description. So I can't figure out a pattern to it. Have you, Roy?
I'm still relatively new to exploring how the different networks, like you've mentioned, even the cable networks, allow or don't allow audio description on their titles. My experience has been with a few companies that are based out of Los Angeles. And the more I learn about it, there's a few other companies that are obviously tapping into it. So it doesn't feel like the Wild West as much as it feels like people understanding the value of audio description. And I think one of the things that I'm doing my best as a narrator is sharing at least my limited experience with audio description, saying, you know, your voice as an audience member is incredibly important, and letting the networks know that that's something that you want.
I really like your presence out there on Twitter. You're bringing it to the attention of everybody. It seems like there's a new face in town that we can connect to with this audio description world. So good job with that, Roy.
Thanks for saying so.
That's great to have somebody that's kind of on the inside. We have a lot of people behind the scenes. I don't know if you're familiar with the Audio Description Project. They do a great job keeping track of everything, whether it's on DVD or in the movie theaters or museums, I believe. Obviously, television as well. It's a great website you could go to. I believe it's done through the ACB. And I'm kind of curious from a describer's perspective, because obviously Jeff and I in the blindness community have our opinion, but what is your opinion of the state of described video in February of 2019?
Boy, oh boy. And again, I've got such a specific, also limited perspective. I go in, I'm provided a script that I read. Whenever it airs, that's pretty much it. I found that there's a lot of narrators like myself that aren't aware that they have people that love their voice. I come from a perspective that not everybody loves everybody. There's going to be a lot of people that might not like to listen to me, but they might like someone else. And what I'm attempting to do on social media is to get the names of the narrator out there as yet another point of reference. I think about listening to audiobooks and how there might be some content that I really appreciate. If I hear the voice of the narrator in that audiobook, I just shake my head. I'm like, I don't think I can commit to this. You know, that's enough for me to turn me off, even though I might like the content. And how great to have the Audio Description Project naming the names of the shows that are available. And there is a push that I'm learning about from some audience members of Audio Description where they're linking up the project to the narrator. I can't help but think that that's going to help even more connections for opportunities for audio description. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
No, it makes sense. I've noticed a trend where maybe a few years ago with audio description, it might be a different narrator doing every episode of a show, or maybe two episodes doing a 24-episode run and they flip-flop. But I have noticed now, like, I pay attention to, you know, they tell you who the narrator is, and I like to know their names. I've gotten to know a few of the great narrators' names, such as yourself. But I've noticed it seems more of a trend that the shows are sticking through the season, at least with the same narrator. Have you noticed that as well?
Personally, I have. And like you mentioned, I'm on a Lethal Weapon, and Criminal Minds is wrapping up their series next season. I've been on that for a few years.
In a hospital, two police officers walk down a hallway.
What do you think, Chief?
I don't know.
Do we need to call in the FBI?
I don't know.
It's been, what, 3 years?
Officer Dewey.
Yes, Chief.
Shut up.
They enter a hospital room.
How is he?
You need to see this.
The doctor pulls back a bandage on the man's stomach.
Dewey.
Yes, Chief.
Call the FBI.
As well as NCIS, another show that's coming out in the next few months I'm looking forward to sharing on social media. So those have all been consistent. Does that mean something to you as an audience member?
To me, it really does, because, like, let's go back to audiobooks, as you mentioned. I've listened to the Clive Cussler books, and after you get into, like, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of these things over the years, and you have that same narrator, it's the same warm, fuzzy, you enter the zone, you know? It's like, it's all there. And as soon as they switch to a different voice, it's like, wait a second, what's going on here? So it's part of the show. You know, some people think that reading a book is one thing, a movie is a different thing. But when you have audio description, that's a third type of listening or watching or intaking. And when something changes, consistency is awesome.
I was just talking to an old college buddy in Los Angeles today, and we got to talking about audio description. He wasn't familiar with it. When I explain what audio description is to a person that's not familiar with it, I basically use the same sentence all the time. I say it's a blind person watching a television show like they're reading an audiobook. So having that same individual reading it throughout the season, you really kind of connect with them, you know, just the way they tell the story. I started watching this new show. It's a miniseries on TNT called I Am the Night. And at first, when I heard the describer's voice, honestly, I wasn't a huge fan. I'm like, oh God, am I going to be able to listen to this? But I don't know if it was the show or I just got used to his voice. I'm now enjoying it. And, you know, it's about 3-4 episodes in and the show's been fantastic. And this is another show that I don't think I would be able to follow it or enjoy it without the audio description. A Million Little Things. I tried to get into that show, and it was just too complicated with all the action. Actually, it was too complicated because there were too many characters, and I didn't know their individual voices, and I didn't have the energy. Believe it or not, when you're blind, getting into some of these shows without audio description takes a lot of energy. I know some blind people that are low vision that don't like to necessarily listen to audio description, but then they choose not to watch TV at all because it's just so draining and everything. And I don't know why they wouldn't give audio description a chance. It took me a little while to get used to, but now I'm absolutely in love with it. I've watched several movies as well as TV shows with it. How about yourself there, Jeff?
Well, I'm kind of confused because you're saying, I know why when you hear all those voices, why you get confused, because Brian's so used to just having one friend. This is a whole new concept for him. But no, that's true. I was teaching at Blind Incorporated, and that's a training center, an adult training center, but we also had buddies and stuff, and we had a movie night where we're doing audio descriptive movies. And some people at that time, this is back a few years, maybe 10 years ago, they were trying to show that you don't really need audio description that much because they were fighting the movement. But I loved it because when we watch Forrest Gump, it's just that feather in the beginning falling, and they just describe that feather, its journey, and how it ended up with him waiting for the bus. And it was just like, oh, they picked the wrong movie because this is one of the best jobs ever done. But this was 10 years ago. I like the description. And Roy, you were just on T. Reed's show, Read My Mind, and he mentioned something about putting like an information thing in front of the movie that would be a descriptive to give you some outline of the movie, some kind of score or something that would help you throughout the movie, like enhance it. So that was really interesting.
Yeah, what a great take. And when I was on Twitter more recently, there was an author who has a new series coming out on one of the streaming services. And someone specifically asked him, is this going to have audio description? And he mentioned that he was involved with not only the audio description, but also the closed captioning. I know those are two completely different things, but it's the first time that I've noticed someone involved on the creative side mentioning an accessibility focus and involvement. You know, most of the work that I do in audio description, it's already after the picture's locked, with a few exceptions. The picture's locked, the audio is done, and it's sometimes kind of last minute, whether it's a movie or a TV show. So it's not an afterthought, but it's definitely towards the end of the game. And that's the first time that I've heard someone talk about being involved. And I think that links up well with what the Read My Mind show was talking about, and how there is a way to, and what a creative approach just to kind of get into the world a little earlier. I'm not sure how that would work, but the idea of it is really interesting.
Well, that leads well into this question, which, you know, I'm interested to hear Roy's input. I'm curious to know, with Apple, Warner Brothers, CW, all coming out with their own streaming services in 2019, 2020, what can the blind community do to make sure that described video is not an afterthought? Because I guarantee these services come out and they're going to all come out with no content with described video. How do we attack this where we get them to have described video in mind before these services even launch?
That's a great question. The few things that come to mind are mainly education. I've approached my outreach with the win-win-win. In other words, the audience members, myself and other narrators, and also the companies that I work for, I'm looking for a way that everybody wins. Once it turns into a zero-sum game, in other words, once it seems like one of those groups is going to benefit more than another, once it becomes a competition among those different groups, I have a lot of concerns about that. But by going for an educational slant, there's a lot of production. Being in Los Angeles, I do meet people in different aspects, not only in post-production sound, but also on the producers or directing side. There are some voiceover talents that aren't even aware of audio description. And these people are capable, skilled people that have been in voiceover for a long time. And they hear about this and there's an excitement and their eyes open up and say, oh, wow, that sounds really great. I believe that as a narrator, that can only help elevate the quality and the value of the work of audio description. So to answer your question, by building the community, the blind community, the narrators or people who can do narration, and also the production companies to be aware of the value of this, I think that helps. I can't help but think that education and people saying, oh yeah, there's audio description.
While you were talking, it made me think of the easiest way to make sure that these future streaming services come prepared with audio description. We just have to add audio description as an Academy Award and Emmy category.
It's funny you mentioned that. I'm part of the TV Academy. That's the Emmys. And there is a committee, the Diversity Committee, and I'm very interested in contacting them and asking them for their submissions to ask to see if audio description can be included in all submissions.
It would be groundbreaking. It would really be groundbreaking awareness-wise. I mean, why not? They have all kinds of animation awards and everything, so why not? Because it really is a performance piece. Any thoughts, Jeff, about how to preemptively strike all these services? Hopefully the ACB and audio description project is reaching out to them as we speak.
Well, I really like what Roy mentioned about the Emmys. And Roy, you mentioned it's a team. You get handed the script. Someone actually views the movie, comes up with the script, and you hit the cues and do your creative work to it. So it's a team. These people are doing great jobs. Someone actually has to pick and choose when and where and what to say. You know, someone's doing some real hard work there and they're good at it. And then you're kind of like the guy that comes along and puts the frosting on top of their work. So it's a team. So I totally think it'd be a great initiative to have an award for that because it represents a crowd that's listening for just that.
It is a performance. I mean, technically, that's the way I look at it. And since it is a performance, what do you prefer reading more, comedy or drama? Do you have a preferred style?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And a quick disclaimer. I believe that audio description needs to be a part of the story, regardless of the genre, whether it's a comedy, a drama, if it's an inspirational IMAX sprawling feature or a super scary episode of Criminal Minds, that as long as I'm doing my job, you shouldn't notice me. If you're thinking about me, I'm not doing it right. And if that means that you're thinking, oh, wow, Roy's doing a great job, that's kind of taking you out of the story. And if it's a narrator who is outside of the genre, you know, they've got a smile on their voice and there's something that's kind of sad that's just happened in a scene, then that also will take you out. So with that in mind, my kind of wheelhouse that I've been cast in the most are the action, adventure, and some horror. I go deep and I sound a little different on audio description than I do in regular life, I think.
An aerial view glides over barren hills. Words appear. Chihuahua Desert, 40 miles outside El Paso. Nighttime. A car drives slowly down a dirt road toward a parked pickup truck. A bearded man steps out of the truck. A blonde woman steps out of the car and aims a pistol at him.
But I try to give the essence of the genre. I worked on a Toy Story of Terror, and that wasn't necessarily a scary one because it's for kids, but there is a little bit of a wink and a little bit of playfulness and a little bit of suspense. And then something like Lethal Weapon, it's just a smash 'em explosion, fast, loud, big sort of, you know, some twists and a little bit of humor. So all those things I do my best to not portray because that's already being heard, but try to just be a part of it and kind of follow along.
Yeah. So Lethal Weapon's nothing like Bridges of Madison County then.
If it is, that's a problem with the narration.
Just to follow up, you don't prepare any differently, no matter what. I just find that fascinating. I guess, you know, sometimes when you really get into, I just watched Bohemian Rhapsody with Describe Video and loved the movie, even though it was actually inaccurate, but they had to fictionalize it. I was so into the movie that you get lost and you do forget about the description when it is done very well.
Perfect. Good to hear. Good to know. With the audio description and with this genre, regardless of the genre, my experience as a narrator is a script is given to me sometimes 2 minutes before we hit record. It's ice cold. My preparation, you know, if it's a feature film, I try to watch a trailer ahead of time just to get the sense of what kind of story they're about to be telling. With the TV shows, obviously the shows that I'm on, I'm somewhat familiar with the kind of genre. It is literally ice cold. And Brian, you and I were talking earlier about many years ago in the industry, and now there's a lot of protections that have to be put in place. I know a lot of stuff about story elements that I can't know ahead of time.
Yeah, having worked in the business, I find that unbelievably difficult that you would be given a script. Can you imagine if you gave an actor on a show a script 2 minutes before he had to do it, how nuts he'd go? But I do understand due to protections and them not wanting things to leak that they have to put that in play. And that's what's amazing about the people that do the job that you do is that they're able to just get into it and not be completely off about what the story and the tone of the story is.
And hopefully not sound like I'm reading words off a screen, you know?
But you've had many years before you got into this of reading cold scripts and realizing it isn't about your reading, it's about the script. And that puts you back into a spot where now your best success is you being very little notice, and you're not competing with the actors or the movie or anything. You're just conveying a message to fill those gaps. So it's like Steve Letness, he's a blind composer. He does scores for movies, and he says, I shouldn't take away or add to the movie. I should be part of the movie, way in the background, and that's my success.
Oh boy, what a great way of putting things. That's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. You're in a tough spot there where your success goes hardly noticed in a way.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Wait a minute. Are you working in an industry where it's all about credit and you're not wanting the credit?
Oh no.
Yeah.
We could talk about that as well.
I have heard about that.
Yeah, that was interesting. The audio people hear it. You know, we hear Roy Samuelson, you know, audio description by Roy Samuelson. But is it printed anywhere?
It is in my contract. It's in, obviously, the track. And the track that I'm on is included in first run features. It's included in DVD releases, digital releases. It's on the TV show's live network feed. It's on the cable. It's on the pre-recorded. It's everywhere. I believe it's an accessibility issue. We're talking about credits here. That's another reason why I'm a proponent for linking the shows with the narrators so that we as narrators can be known for the work we do. I have to be very careful that I don't come across like, oh, Roy just wants, you know, his ego to be shown. It's more about elevating the craft and the value of the narration. Like I said earlier, regardless of who's doing the narration, if they're doing a great job, that narrator needs to be known as the go-to person. Whoever's reading it, if she's a great narrator, she needs to be hired all the time. And people need to know about it and request her.
Additionally, if it's included, it's going to bring more attention to audio description as well. People that weren't necessarily, oh, what's this audio description by? You know, I think that just bring a higher light to it and everything. And with audio description expanding, hopefully more and more with more content coming out with it, what if somebody's out there now that says, this is something I might want to do for a living? What would you suggest this individual do to maybe get into doing audio description work?
That's a great question. I can share my experience with an acting background in theater as well as improv. I believe there's hundreds of opportunities, not just in Los Angeles, where people can come together and read scripts out loud and practice reading them cold. There are hundreds of opportunities to download them legally. There's libraries that have scripts as well as plays. I've been doing that since 1992. I've been getting paid to read scripts, and it's that ice cold practice that helps. And each time you do it, that ice cold reading helps. I think another thing is to practice listening to your own voice, because most people spend their entire lives hearing their voice from inside their own body. Everyone else hears their voice outside that person's body. When you hear a recording, for example, your voicemail greeting, who is that person? That doesn't sound like me. That gap needs to be reduced so there's no latency. You need to know, oh, when I think I'm doing this, I think I sound like Fred Flintstone, but I actually sound like Mr. Bill. It's like, okay, that's good to know. You know, it's like there's a little gap that we need to bridge and say, oh, if I need to sound more like Fred Flintstone, I need to lower my voice. I need to speed up a little bit. I'm using that as an arbitrary example, but there is that gap. So those are the two things that come to mind first.
Now, I've noticed, and I'm not going to mention any companies or individuals by names, there is a huge difference between good audio description and bad audio description. For example, I've been watching shows mainly on ABC, and I've had to turn the audio description off and back on because it's like, and I know it's not the narrator's fault, it's whoever wrote it, I guess, that it feels like they fell asleep and they're barely mentioning anything that's going on. Why is that? Is it because whoever put the description together kind of did a half-assed job? It's just something that befuddles me.
I can't speak for the describers who write the scripts that aren't good. The company that I work for does care for the quality of the description. I'm using describers as different than narrators. The describers actually write the script that the narrators like me read. It seems like those are interchangeable, but the describers for the company I work for, they research, they watch the shows several times. I believe they follow along with the original script. There are notes even in the script that I get from the describers that make note of, I'm not sure if this character was referenced in season two, but there's a level of commitment to telling the story on the writing side from those describers. That's a value. And I think a lot of companies, again, I don't have a comparison to say some companies are worse than others, but I think when a company views audio description as just a box to check on an accessibility tab. They're doing a disservice for the entire production that could have spent tens of millions of dollars to put something out there.
It would be really neat to talk to a describer, because I think that's an art too. You do the narration. It'd be neat to talk to one of them, how they extrapolate or where they flow with, and then them writing notes that you interpret. After a while, you get in the groove with their work, I imagine.
Absolutely. And describers do fall into certain standards. I'm not going to say requirements, but standards that make it easy for them to do their job. As you know, the seconds in between two lines of dialogue isn't a lot. And, 24 frames a second, a picture is worth 1,000 words. That's like 20,000 pictures that need to be described. So they really have to boil it down and make sure that they're focusing on the important elements. I would not be surprised that there are some describers who would love to speak with you. It'd be great to get them involved in this conversation too.
Yeah, you said like if the blind community comes together and makes it known that we like this type of thing. I mean, feedback, when we do podcasts, we get feedback now and then, sometimes a lot, sometimes a little bit, but everyone that comes in is appreciated. It's like, oh, wow, this person took the time out of their day to actually click on a thing, send us a message and express what they like about it. So I think the community, the blindness community that does like audio description, that uses it, appreciates it, should get their voice out there and get it back to the people who are taking their time to create this stuff.
Yeah, it's something that's shocked me. There's ways of getting audio description for some things. For example, HBO and Showtime, they don't air any programming with audio description. Well, I've been a big fan of the show Homeland. For some reason, Homeland in England airs with audio description, yet in the United States it doesn't. So I've kind of had to search that down, because what I'll do is I'll wait until the end of the season and I'll try and find it. And so far, I've been very fortunate in finding, at least the audio description tracks. I have no clue why it doesn't air in this country with description. Now, having lived in Los Angeles myself, I do know when you go out in LA, everybody from the person serving your coffee to the bartender to your waitress works in the business. So I'm curious, when you're out in LA working in the business and people ask you, well, what do you do in the business? And you say audio description, do people know what you're talking about?
No. And it's fascinating how often it's mistaken for closed captioning. I'd say 1 out of 4 times someone hears me say, I do audio description. They say, oh, do you sign too? That's a different disability. That's a different experience.
When I say I'm visually impaired to people, they talk louder.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow. Jeff, I can't believe that.
I'm just surprised that when you said audio description and you say, well, it's a service that blind people use to enjoy TV and film, people say, blind people watch TV?
One thing that I'm trying to do is find the fastest way to get people on board. And I've been playing around with, I say what people see. That seems to kind of get the, oh, okay. Or there was another interview I did where the interviewer said, oh, it's kind of like sports radio where they're announcing the play-by-play. And I'm like, yeah, it's exactly like that, except for TV and film. And I thought that was a nice kind of way to get people on board. And that's part of the education. Oh, what's it like?
It's a great way of explaining, but I switched fully to SiriusXM this year and I had so much fun just listening to football games on the radio this season. I didn't watch one game on TV, because you can watch a football game on TV and they'll tell you everything that's going on except what's going on the field. So it's kind of pointless. So describing it like a play-by-play radio announcer is a great way of putting it.
Oh yeah, if it wasn't for the time delays, it's great to play the radio and watch a football game on TV. But some people who can see don't like it's 8 seconds off.
Streaming audio is always delayed after television, but if you listen to it on the local radio, you get it about 8 seconds before. So I had my headset on with local radio at my local bar watching the Yankee Astro game, and I'm yelling, son of a bitch. And people are like, wait, what happened? Brian, stop it. It was bizarre that local radio gets it before television.
The editor in me just woke up.
Well, on the tech side too, this is just a simple tech adjustment. Like you're saying, an 8 second delay. We've got DVR with constant recording. You hit pause button and just hope to hit the unpause button at the right time. That kind of audio sync is available. That starts me thinking about, with the Amazon Alexas and the HomePod by Apple, that audio description could be its own skill in those things, because you don't need the television. There's so many different places where this tech can be applied. In Los Angeles, as you remember, Brian, this traffic is a nightmare. There's a lot of commuters. Oh. And how great to turn on audio description on some of the streaming services and enjoy your favorite TV shows while you're stuck on the 405.
Or those ping pong tournaments. That would be nice to have described.
Jeff, you need to get out more if you're listening to ping pong tournaments. What I do is I'll stream from the iPad the audio description to the Sonos speakers and turn it up, and it sounds like a great movie theater. So it really gives me that movie theater experience.
Very cool.
Yeah, I've got my own little setup in here. I kept having to turn Bohemian Rhapsody down every time the music kept blaring because I do like to be conscientious of the neighbors and everything. Moving forward here, what do you think, if anything, people like Jeff and myself or people in the blindness community could be doing to educate people either more in the entertainment industry about audio description or just general people in the public? Because the more people in the public that find out about it, probably the more audio description there will be.
Absolutely. And I'm making this up as we go along, but I'm finding that the more times, regardless of the audience member, if it's a blind audience member, low vision or otherwise, who contacts the networks and lets them know, hey, you know, I really appreciate this show. Can you have this show for audio description? They do listen. They do care. There's accessibility phone numbers. There's general lines specifically for the networks. I think what I'm seeing happening on specifically Twitter is that by linking up with the projects, I'm doing my best to try to share, you know, here's a project I'm involved with. I'm proud to be read by Roy Samuelson. And I'm also trying to get other audio description narrators to share what projects they're working on so I can share their stuff. I do believe there's a link to the narrators, not because of the narrators, but it's a name that goes along with the product. And by combining the audio description project with narrators' names, as well as calling into the networks and any production companies, that does make a difference. And that's something that, you know, it takes a little bit of work. It's a phone call or an email or a form online, but the more active, regardless of it being a blind community or any community that's appreciating audio description, getting that word out can only help increase the value and the quality as well as the content.
His hands raised, the man reaches into the truck and takes a folder from the dashboard.
On the hood.
He drops it on the vehicle. The woman digs through the folder with one hand while holding the gun with the other.
Everything you need to pass as a Mexican citizen. Driver's license, passports, even an IMSS card in case you need a doctor. But you ordered two.
She tosses a set of keys on the hood.
You mind?
She motions to her car with the gun.
Something that you might not be aware of from a consumer standpoint nowadays, compared to the way it was even 3 years ago, you used to have to go into your television and switch a setting, and you most of the time needed sighted assistance. Jeff's going to love me talking about my TiVo, but it's great. It's just a simple button. I hold it down for 2 seconds. It flips between the audio described track and the regular track. And the great thing is, I didn't know if it was going to work this way when audio description really started to come out on more network shows. But if you're using a DVR, it automatically records the audio described track as well as the regular track. You don't have to watch anything in real time.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's really cool that it works that way, because I'm not a big fan of television commercials. It's great to be able to get through everything really quickly.
Well, Roy, I just want to thank you for getting connected with the blindness community, the people who are listening to you. It's just neat to know that someone's actually doing this and we're in communications with them. So can you tell people where they can find you on the social networks?
Sure. On Twitter, I'm at Roy Samuelson, all one word. R-O-Y-S-A-M-U-E-L-S-O-N. I'm on Instagram at Roy Samuelson, and I do my best to add the alternative text for the photos.
Oh, great. How about Facebook?
Facebook, yeah, is at Roy Samuelson Biz, B-I-Z, Roy Samuelson Biz.
Well, we'll put those links in the show notes as well.
Well, I appreciate it, Roy. This was a big thrill for me. Like I said, when you and I were just chatting before we started recording, it seems like I've known you forever because I've been listening to your voice for so long, and it does just blend into the show, so it does a perfect job, but the voice was obviously familiar, and it was great to have you on Blind Abilities and now That Blind Tech Show and get your thoughts on where we are with audio description and where we might be going.
Thanks so much, Brian. It's a real honor to talk to both of you guys.
Thank you very much, Roy.
Thanks, Jeff. Speaking with you both, it enhances my passion for this work. You know, I really love it.
The bearded man takes the keys and opens the car's trunk. A long-haired man lies in the trunk, aiming a shotgun. The bearded man raises his hands and backs away. The gunman climbs out of the trunk.
We good, sugar?
All good, baby.
All good, baby. It's always a good time having Roy Samuelson in the studio and bringing Brian and Roy together. Brian's such an enthusiast about audio description. And Roy, well, Roy's just doing his thing out there in Hollywood. Thank you, Roy. Thank you for coming on to That Blind Tech Show and doing that thing you do out there in Hollywood, you know. And to all our listeners, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed. And until next time, bye-bye. Enable the Blind Ability skill on your Amazon device just by saying, Enable Blind Abilities.
When we share
what we see through each other's eyes,
we can then begin to bridge the gap
between the limited expectations and the realities
of blind abilities.
For more podcasts with a blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com, on Twitter at blindabilities, download our app from the App Store, Blind Abilities, that's two words, or send us an email at info@blindabilities.com. Thanks for listening.